And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
This headline podcast is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. This is Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. Because the Supreme Court has handed down a ruling in Alston versus the NCAA. As Ari Wasserman and I are recording this on Monday morning, this ruling has been out for about a half hour. And it's something. It's pretty interesting. To put it in terms that we college football fans can understand, did you watch the LSU-Oklahoma semifinal in 2019? Did you watch that semifinal? That's what this was. The Supreme Court was LSU and the NCAA was Oklahoma. So except the NCAA didn't even get to put Spencer Rattler in for two plays at the end.
Yeah, well, I always knew that when I went to University of Arizona Journalism School that I'd be able to break down 50-page Supreme Court ruling documents and kind of analyze them. So, you know, that's exactly why I got into sports journalism. But this was kind of, you know, something when you read through it, and most people probably didn't. I wish I didn't, but there were certain portions of this where it kind of felt like the student athlete finally had a voice, like for the first time, where people were actually saying what student athletes have been feeling for a long time, which is basically what the NCAA football monster is, a billion-dollar industry that generates, you know, millions and billions of dollars, and everybody's getting a piece of the pie but them. And, you know, this is the first time in modern history, I guess, that we could say, and it's a pretty significant day where the Supreme Court of the United States is saying that too. And now the NCAA has to, you know, come up with some different answers, because, you know, this is some. I think this might be the first domino that falls that kind of changes the paradigm of the entire sport.
Well, and here's the thing: you've got this name, image, and likeness stuff. The states that have passed laws that go into effect this year, those laws go into effect in 2 weeks. The rest of the NCAA is not passed a rule that you know, they haven't passed any rules that will cover the rest of the states. I think they were waiting for this ruling before they did, because in talking to conference commissioners and those sorts of people, they wanted to know what the ground rules were going to be. And here's the ground rules. I think, you know, Neil Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion, but Brett Kavanaugh wrote the consenting opinion. And I think the Kavanaugh consenting opinion is written in a little bit plainer English, a little easier to understand what's going on. And basically it says, you know, the court ruled in this case. And in this case, so if you didn't know, this case was about whether the NCAA can make rules to cap, quote, educational expenses. And you can read into that whatever you want. But basically, they're no longer allowed to make any rules that cap educational expenses. But here's where the schools and the NCAA really lost here. He says, though the court doesn't weigh in on the legality of the NCAA's other rules, you should worry about that. If they are challenged, you're probably going to lose. And the last line of Brett Kavanaugh's opinion is this: the NCAA is not above the law. And so basically, this is one of the more conservative justices. Remember, Kavanaugh's a Trump appointee, telling the NCAA, hey, you got to stop this. You are breaking the law. You are colluding to keep their, you know, the athletes' salaries down, and you can't do it anymore. And it's not going to go well for the NCAA if they keep, because this is a strong rebuke of the NCAA, just an absolute nuking of what colleges considered sacred. They call amateurism something that is historically sacred, even though it's really not. And the court just destroyed that today.
You want me to read the most moving portion of this for people. And I thought this was this is the one it. The one part of it that I was just like, damn. This is probably the graph that you got to, too, in that where you were like, this is the Oklahoma-LSU game. But Kavanaugh wrote, in my view, that argument or the NCAA's argument is circular and unpersuasive. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student-athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. All of the restaurants in a region cannot come together to cut cooks' wages on the theory that customers prefer to eat food from low-paid cooks. Law firms cannot conspire to cabin lawyers' salaries in the name of providing legal services out of the love of the law. Hospitals cannot agree to cap nurses' income in order to create a purer form of helping the sick. News organizations cannot join forces to curtail the pay of reporters to preserve a tradition of public-minded journalism. Movie studios cannot collude.
Wait, wait. So we work for newspapers, are it's just because they were cheap,
yeah,
right?
That's right. I think they were just colluding. I laughed when I read that part. I was like, wait a minute. And then the last line of that was, movie studios cannot collude to slash benefits of camera crews to kindle the spirit of amateurism in Hollywood. Which basically he's just using other people, other normal jobs to say, hey, nobody else is getting slashed because of the spirit of the tradition of amateurism, which has been, I think, the biggest racket in the history of the world, other than the Star Wars movie franchises. But I guess we can talk about that some other time. But like, yeah,
that's another podcast for another day.
But like, yeah, it's just kind of like you can call it what you want. You can say whatever you want to say. The tradition of the game, amateurism models, the sport that everybody loves, all the things that go into play with that. But when it comes to the actual letter of the law, you know, these kids are 18-year-old adults and older. And telling them that they can't go make money in the free enterprise is insane. And it feels like it's only a matter of time before, you know, this was going to happen. And it's kind of amazing that it's taken this long when you think about how crazy it is that you can limit an adult's ability to make money based on what they've achieved themselves. And the thing that people don't realize, too, is that even though these college football players are technically amateurs, Andy, I don't think people realize how much work, blood, sweat has to go into just achieving a scholarship or to get to this point in your career. So you're not just talking about a bunch of peewee football players. I mean, these people have put in more work
right.
to get to college football.
Also, it's not a gift from the school. Like, there's something you have to give in exchange to receive
Absolutely.
The scholarship.
You have to do your part to make their $1 billion. But I think you can make a case that a college athlete who has been playing football since he was 9 years old and going to camps and the hundreds of thousands of dollars some parents are paying and personal coaches and trainers and all the things that they've worked as hard at the craft of football as most young professionals have worked at the craft that they went to college for in their first jobs. And you're not saying, hey, there's a you know, any 25-year-old in America can't be a millionaire. That's not the way the world works. So, you know, I think that this is a huge step. And the one thing that I think is always the curious thing when we talk about college football in general, not just Supreme Court cases, but it's when things like this happen, it's the immediacy of how we feel about it and we discuss it. But, you know, the unknown is how this is going to manifest in the long run and the other laws that are going to come into question. And this is just the educational purposes background. They haven't even talked about pure compensation to athletes who go to school at these places. So there's a lot coming, I think.
Thanks for joining our breaking news coverage. Go to the Athletic's headlines section for much more on this story and to hear more. Ask your Google Assistant to, quote, play news from The Athletic, end quote. You can also visit theathletic.com/headlinepod to join for just $3.99 a month.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.